Today we continue in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 25, and I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message. Hear God's word. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. And this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. And if we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. And that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe the pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling those birth pangs, and those sterile, barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. And that's why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. It seems like our lives are filled with waiting. We're always waiting for something, aren't we? Whether it's when we're stopped at a traffic light, waiting for the traffic to move along, whether it's waiting for just the right job or opportunity, whether it's waiting for that special someone to come into our lives, whether it's waiting to finish up something, a project. We're always waiting for something. In fact, parents all over the country are finding their children waiting as they make their trips, constantly asking, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Well, in many ways, we're like those kids. We're always saying the same thing. "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Come on, God, let's get going on this." Our lives are not simple, and we do struggle with that waiting. This morning in our prayers, as we so often do, we prayed for various friends and family members who are involved in some way with cancer. And one of the things that I discovered in my own experience with cancer was that the big question and the big wondering what lies ahead, that repeatedly you hear those who are struggling with it, as well as other illnesses, saying the waiting is the worst. Whether it's waiting to get back test results, whether it's waiting to see if treatments did any good, whether it's waiting to see what is next, the waiting can definitely be the worst. But it can also be a learning time. again remembering my own experience with cancer, one of the things that struck me is over the years how much time I've spent waiting. I can still remember as a little kid thinking to myself that everything in my life would fall into place and be perfect when I was 16. Now, why 16-year-old was the magic number, I'm not sure. Maybe it was because I was seeing all these young women around that age who looked so happy, and they were dating and going to parties, and they looked so glamorous. And so I just had like this feeling, okay, that's the time you grow up, you get a little more control of your life. That's got to be a perfect time. I hit 16, and somehow I was still waiting. Still waiting. But things changed a lot by the time I hit my first cancer. And what changed during all those years was that as I found myself going through challenges, going through difficulties, going through things I never would have chosen for myself, I found that God was in the midst of every single one of them. And I found myself seeing him do amazing things, transforming situations in ways that I never would have expected. And so, when I found that lump, still not having seen a doctor, but knowing in my heart what it was, there was a difference. I was waiting to know, to hear, to see. But this time was different because this time I was waiting with excited anticipation. I knew that whatever lay ahead would not be easy, but I also knew that God would be in the middle of it. And I also knew that he would be teaching me things. And I knew that he would be using me in ways I never could have imagined, never could have guessed, could not have even hoped for. And he did not let me down. This is a hard concept. Paul himself, when he writes this letter, he's going through amazingly difficult times. He knows that this life can be challenging. He knows all the difficulties that we face better than we know ourselves. His life is a million times more difficult than any of ours will ever be. And so that is part of his credibility. But he offers us the assurance that there is something ahead that is powerful. But there is also some beautiful stuff in this life right now. And one of the difficulties, if we're only waiting, then we're missing. We're missing the beauty of this moment. Now, there's some moms in here at this moment who had to wait a long time for their beautiful little treasures to be born. It was not easy waiting. And it seems like the closer you get to the birth of that child, the harder the waiting is. And those final hours, you just want that baby to be here. And yet that baby needed every single minute to be the healthy baby that is born. Same thing is happening in us. It's a wonderful illustration for the growth, the spiritual growth that happens in each of us as we face our difficulties and challenges. Each of us is pregnant with a beautiful spiritual self that needs all that's going on and will be birthed at just the right moment. My friends, waiting can be the worst if we choose it to be the worst. But it can also be a wonderful, enlightening time if we're living in the moment and embracing it. Anthony DeMello tells a wonderful story about people who are out on a raft on the coast of Brazil. And they were sort of stranded in the water and they were dying from thirst. They were so thirsty. And as far as they knew, because they were in the ocean, the water was completely undrinkable. What they didn't know was that there was an amazing freshwater river that was emptying water out into the ocean. And so actually, the water around where their boat was entirely drinkable, but they didn't know that. Problem is, as DeMello says, we are surrounded with joy, with happiness, with love, and most people have no idea. Hear it again. We're surrounded with joy, with happiness, with love, and most people have no idea. Wherever you are in your journey right now, God is with you. And God is working some beautiful things. No matter how challenging things are, you will find that beauty if you're seeking it. The fresh water is there. It's available to us. Let's say a word of prayer. Dearest Lord, help us to embrace you in your love. Help us to stay close to you. Help us to know that even in the most difficult times, that you're with us, and help us to face it all with excited anticipation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.